when it is over, I fear there will be little left of our world.
You read your books about UFOs and Roswell and whacked out theories and government conspiracies. I think that you want to believe. What makes you trust them?
Well, I'm a good judge of character.
2013, and welcome. It is midsummer. It is hot. It is oppressively hot where I'm at. Hopefully, you're in a cool space tonight. And we have a very good show lined up. First hour, Dana Donlan will be here with me to discuss many subjects, among them people who have died twice, dimensional shifts, and what's going on in the realms of the paranormal, dimensional changes and shifts and all kinds of wild stuff going on. The long break was a product of a number of things, not the least of which was the passing away of our beloved mother. Judy was my wife's mother. I don't like the term mother-in-law because it's been the butt of too many jokes. This was the elder of our family, and it affected us all greatly, and she was very much a supporter of what I did over the years, and an inspiration, a friend, and we miss her. And of course, in between all of this, we also had the end of the month event with Duncan and Miranda. That was the end of June, and so Duncan and Miranda will be here next hour, and we're going to kind of go over some of the things that we gained from that and catch up with them as well. Chris Holly is off tonight. Chris has gone through similar trials and tribulations. She has experienced loss in her family, health problems, all manner of oppression. And most people who are familiar with Chris knows that Chris is one of those people that occasionally gets taken. And she deals with the consequences of a lifetime of having been subjected to all kinds of very strange events that have impacted her. Nevertheless, she will return next week, July 24th. Jeff Danilek will be joining us. His website is ourcuriousworld.com. And Jeff covers a wide range of paranormal things as well as the spiritual side of things. His journey is a lot like mine in that he sort of came out of institutional religion and began to embrace spirituality from a wider standpoint. And July 31st, Doc Vega will be here. August 7th, Ken Pfeiffer is going to return. Ken has a lot to talk about in terms of reporting UFO phenomena around the world. He is documenting constantly the photographic evidence of UFOs and the phenomena in our skies. So we have a pretty solid season booked up into September, and more coming as we go along. So we're going to get busy again, and it's actually good to be back. I feel a little rusty, But it's going to be a laid-back show tonight because we're with friends, and I don't have to do a lot of show prep when I do that. Back in May of 2012, I was privileged to present the first radio interview with my first guest tonight, Dana Donlan. That show was called Seeing Beyond Abduction, and she discussed at length her experiences with reptilian and extra dimensionals. And she's going to be here for the next hour, and we're going to reprise some of those subjects and come up with, I believe, some new insights as well. And that show is on the website if you want to look it up. Her website is UFOchick.com. That link is on the web page right now. And I'm reaching over here because I got to queue up my guest. And so with that, no more further blather from me. Good evening and welcome, Dana Donlan. Welcome to Off Planet Radio.
Thank you, Randy. It's so good to be back.
It's good to have
you
back again.
Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful. It's been over a year since we last talked on the radio. You and I talk we talk fairly often on the phone, and we get a chance to touch up, and you always have something interesting going on. And so bring us up to speed with what's going on with you these days.
Well, I'm working on a book that you read the first part of, trying to finish it up hopefully within the next 6 or 8 weeks. Now, whether anybody will want to read it, I don't know, but I'm going to finish it and put it out there. Been doing lots of corresponding with people by email, lot of scanning the forums, working on the David Icke forum, a lot of interaction with people who are experiencing new things, and mostly frightened of them. And a lot of reassurance is what I've been doing lately.
And, you know, anybody that goes back and listens to that May 9th, 2012 show knows that one of the strongest messages you were sending then, it had to do with taking back your power and not being in fear. And I know you and I talked about this on the phone over the weekend, and we probably just stick that in right up front.
Yeah, because once you're in fear, you lower your vibrational rate. People think that energy is about how powered up you are, but it doesn't matter how powered up you are. If you're putting out fear energy, it still attracts negative entities and their dimensionals. So you have to stay in a state of gratefulness and appreciation and kindness, no matter if your energy is low or high. That's the key.
Yeah, this is an important part of it, because the fear meme's been put out there. It's laced into our media on a day-to-day basis. It's the mechanism of control that the Matrix uses. It's also the thread that's been woven into all of the paranormal. And it is not without some consideration that we say that many people have, like you, yourself, have experienced some fairly frightening things that have gone on, things that are outside the pale of the normal, and things that disturb the psyche and the sense of security about your reality. But one of the things that we have to now get our mindset into is understanding that there are changes going on in what I call the world, which embraces far more than the earth that we live on, because it's actually a world system of worlds, of dimensions. And you and I talked about this, and I've been of the opinion, and I've said this a number of times on this radio show and other shows I've been on, that the veil is thinned, that we're now in a time when there's bleed-throughs from other dimensions, other worlds, other realities, and we're going to have to get used to it, and we're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to need to get ourselves in a place where we're not giving away our power to other beings.
Yeah, and it happens a lot, and people are taught to react with fear because of the movies, because of TV. If you don't know how to react to a situation, you use the fallback position of what have you seen others do. And if you've seen him running and screaming in the movies, that's what you're going to do. If that's your only reference point, that's what you'll fall back on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work.
Well, I think back to when I was a kid and going to the movies, and in those days, horror movies were all the rage, as they are now, because now Whereas one time it was Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, now it's teenage slasher movies and Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, which up the violence level. But the fear meme was always woven into it. It was woven into the UFO pantheon right from the beginning. I mean, right from the beginning of this, what I call the modern era of ufology, there's been a fear meme. It was set up by the government and the military as a way to control the flow of information and keep people in fear.
Yes, and we're trying not to have our own power. An interesting thing has actually happened to me over the last 3 months. In my dream state, occasionally, like everybody else, I would have a nightmare. And it used to be I would run from the monster or whatever it was, and that has completely changed for me now. If something, it doesn't matter what it is, comes at me in my dream, I stand up and say, I don't think so, and attack. And then I watch it run away, and I go on with my dream. And it's not even a lucid dream. It's in the normal dreamscape. And I find that very interesting, that when you reach a certain point where you've actually been through so much that there's nothing else to be afraid of, so to speak, that that would happen. But the emails and the things that I see are of people dying over again. People are remembering the alternate timelines. And I think more people will recognize these small changes in TV, books, their own home, things appearing and disappearing. Today, I noticed my journal entries had changed. All kinds of things are changing and blending together, I guess, of different timelines. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, sometimes it's real subtle. I started to notice this, and actually when you notice it is when you both begin to get some control over it, but also when it starts to become more of a routine thing. I noticed it years ago with little time slips that would happen where you'd blip. You just blip out. And when I would blip out, I come back, it didn't feel like where I left, but it was microseconds. It was the remembering of a change of light, a change of shadows, a sense that something had changed in the environment around me. And then it would be objects that either appeared or disappeared unaccountably. And you know, I understand that as we get older, our memory isn't quite what it used to be, and all of that's subjective anyway, but I know what I know. And there's a difference between misplacing an object and finding an object has either been disappeared or the object has been transported somewhere else completely without explanation. That's one small way of noticing this type of phenomena.
Yes, and people are starting to notice more and more with information is what I'm finding interesting. Like I say, with media changing, with book endings slightly different, people that will reread the same book, have favorites over and over, will notice changes. I've noticed changes in the old TV shows. There are all kinds of changes happening, and more and more people are saying, wait a minute, I'm going to trust myself and this isn't right. And asking other people on forums, didn't this person already pass away a few years ago? You know, was this the ending to this book before? So it's becoming common, very common. And the question is exactly what's going on? I was trained to observe from my years basically as a pagan to keep a clean house and pay attention, and that has stayed with me, so I know when things are moved and things are missing. And I always pay attention to that, and things have appeared and disappeared here almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and if maybe you're like me, I'm sort of OCD, so I tend to be kind of fanatical about that. And, you know, sometimes, yes, you really do misplace objects, but I've had objects misplaced in places they couldn't have been misplaced, and I've had things show up where they never should have been. And I've had things show up that I can't explain because they weren't mine. very strange when objects start appearing like that.
Yes, I had a period of about a month where money kept showing up in my wallet. Now, I wasn't complaining, but it was coming from somewhere. No, seriously, this happened. It was a couple of summers ago, and it was like I didn't have any cash in my wallet, and now I do. And, you know, I'd ask everybody, did you put money in my purse? No. So that appeared. We've had things for our dog appear. I've had things appear on my dresser out of nowhere. My dresser has nothing on it, and things just appear there. Things are odd. A friend has reported that, and I've noticed, that the ground is vibrating and shifting at certain times. You can feel it with your bare feet.
Yes, I've picked that up. I've picked that up several times. I've been noticing my body vibrating in strange places too. For a couple of days, I had a very strange vibration that would come up in my hip on the right side of my body. It was just a vibration. I kept reaching for my phone, thinking my phone was in that pocket on vibrate. It wasn't. My phone's in my left pocket, and usually my phone's turned on. And I mentioned this to my wife and a couple other people. It's just like, there's this weird vibrating in my body. And at one point, it was going up my neck, at the base of my skull. But I've noticed it as well in the ground. And other people have commented as well that of this vibrating that goes on. Some people are noticing it in like their pre-sleep state, and they'll notice it at other times that there's just vibrations that you can't account for.
My suggestion on that will happen when interdimensionals are actually working on you.
Yes.
And my suggestion is to ask for people to say, if this is a sentient entity, would you stop doing that for a moment? And see if it stops. See if it stops, because then you have verification, at least a small verification, you know, that that's what's going on. But their feel is very electrical. It's like a small electricity current going through you, and it does vibrate a little bit. I could describe it definitely as a vibration.
Mm-hmm. I would describe it as a shift in frequency, and a lot of people who have gone through abduction scenarios know that there's a shift in frequency that'll kind of anticipate an alien intrusion, another entity's intrusion into our space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's been my experience completely. Also, the flashes of light, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that happen multiple times, where there's just, it's almost like a sci-fi thing. There's a vertical line of white and then a flash as it goes out to both sides, and then it's done. And then you can feel someone, you know, touching you, or see a shadow moving around the room when they appear.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
And I don't know if they're...
The shadow thing.
Yeah.
I've experienced this numerous times. It's very hard to describe, and sometimes it's very fleeting. But I've had emails from people, and I've had one within the last day, of people who are reporting the shadow entities, and it seems like that's on the uptick as well. Have you experienced this?
Oh, yeah. Every day. Every day there are entities in this house. But we have a portal here, so they're going to come and they're going to go, and I'm so used to them, I don't really pay much attention. The dogs see them. Your pets are a great indicator when there's something there that you can't see, because they'll watch them quite intently and sometimes bark at them, or the cats will react to them. I'll see them walking through a hallway, and it's always out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
Because the way our eyes work, we don't actually see what's there. We see a microsecond behind. So they have enough time to get out of the way, so you're only going to catch a glimpse. Just a glimpse. But yeah, tall, short, small... I've read and done a lot of research on them. I don't know what they are. A lot of people theorize, but I don't like to do that. I just know that they're here. And the ones that pop in with the bright light are not a dark shadow. They're more of a light form, which tells me they're a completely different being, entity, whatever word you want to use, from the shadow people. But the odd thing is, many times I can speak to people who have passed over or get a really good sense of them. The shadow people do not feel like the people who have recently passed over at all. They don't emit anything that I can pick up on their energy fields to decipher, like when I do a reading or do something like that, when I pick up on an energy field. So I'm not sure what they are. I can't read them at all, which is very odd.
I've never had a strong vibrational sense of even these shadow entities, other than the one encounter that I had in Arizona in 2009-2010 out in Flagstaff, and that particular one simply emanated fear, and it was simply a very large shadow that emerged very quickly, and it was engulfing, and in that moment it stimulated the adrenals, and there was this fear response to it, and then it receded again.
How large was it?
Very large. It was very large.
Well, years ago, my husband and I had a little apartment, and at one end was a sunroom, and then you had the living room and dining room, and then the bedroom at the other end. And our daughter's bedroom was the sunroom. And we woke up one night, and she was screaming like she was being murdered. And we flew out of bed. She was about 3. And I ran into the dining room and stopped dead because there was a light on, but the entire room was full of this dark fog. You could not even see the wall across the room. And at first I thought it was a fire, and then I realized there was no smell, there was no heat. And so I stopped and I thought about it, and it felt awful. It felt evil. And I walked out into it, and I just closed my eyes, and I just loved it like it was my little newborn baby. And stood there, and in one whoosh, it left. Just in one whoosh. But that's the only encounter I've had with something big and nasty, evil, or fear-like that was a shadow or an entity of that type, aside from an actual ET or reptilian. But that was a weird one. That was really odd.
I know we can't theorize, and I think our terminology fails us too. I mean, everybody wants to put names on this, so we call them ETs, or we call them aliens or extraterrestrials. But I'm convinced, and this even goes back to childhood, and I actually think that children experience this much more strongly, that we share a planet with beings who are not what you would call physical beings. There's non-physical entities of all kinds on this planet, some of which, you know, are handed down through lore and legend, and some who are just so mysterious that they're only really remembered or recalled in terms of our most immediate recall of having an experience like that. And I also think we tend to be trained to not notice these things, which goes back to what you and I were talking about with, as this veil is thinning, as this dimensional rift seems to be opening up, a lot of our reality is being challenged because of the fact that, I guess, the collective consensus reality conditioned out of us our ability to see and experience certain things that as children we probably did. I mean, maybe there really were monsters under the bed at one point when we were kids.
Oh, yeah, and you'd go to tell your mother something or your father, and they'd say, oh, that's nonsense. And you'd think, okay, it's nonsense, and you assimilate that, and you don't hear it or see it or experience it anymore. And we accept these programs that take away our natural abilities, and we have to throw off the old programming and say, okay, I'm going to accept whatever happens or whatever I see or hear and experience. I'm just going to accept that it happened and trust myself. And then you begin to see more. you know, I've heard the old story of the original Native Americans that were here couldn't see the ships that were sailing to shore.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it wasn't in their reality. You know,
yes,
so
that story's been retold from a number of different cultures that, in fact, their own trained visual field was unable to discern the ships that were sitting off of the shoreline. They simply couldn't see it. I'm of the strong opinion that that's why a lot of people never see a UFO, because they're, what one of my friends calls their lion eyes, after the Eagles song, their lion eyes are too entrained to be able to see things that I think some people who have experienced this do see. We don't really see with our frontal eyes. I've had this conversation with a number of people because one of my exercises over the last few years is to develop visual acuity. And some of it has to do with developing stronger peripheral perception. Because the peripheral vision is the part that's not entrained, and there's actually a whole dynamic that goes into how we see when we're glancing from our side view, how we perceive things more strongly from our peripheral vision than we do with our front-on visual field.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I've been working on that too, actually, seeing what's really there.
Yeah, one of the things I've been doing is I've been what I call detuning my eyes. I will actually defocus my visual field, my frontal visual field, and attempt to discern things that shift into the background. You know, on cameras, and I'm a photographer, so I don't want to get too technical, but you have what's called depth of field in the lens. And the way you get that is by setting different settings on the camera that enable you to have what's called depth of field. And as you do that, you will pick up more stronger foreground or background depending on where it's set. Well, we can do that with our eyes as well. If we defocus from the most obvious visual plane, which is, you know, where we're entrained to see, and defocus our eyes, we have the ability to begin perceiving things beyond the normal field, but you're doing it not from a finely tuned visual. How to explain this? It's fuzzy.
Yeah, it's a softening of
it's
your
a
vision.
Soft, perfect,
is what I
perfect
call
words.
It.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yes, and it's the same. It's how people can see auras. If you're a beginner and you want to see an aura, sit about 6 feet from your television. Now the old ones are better. I haven't tried it on the new flat screens. And just soften your eyes. Don't stare, but look at about a half an inch past the side of your television after it's been turned off, and you'll see a blurriness. And try it on electronics. It's easier because the electrical field is stronger, but if you look just past most objects, you'll be able to see a blurry field around them, and that's actually they're the same aura that a person has. Everything has an aura, but it's, I think of it as a softening of the vision.
Yeah, it is. And that's actually what we need to do. I actually wrote an article about this maybe last winter about training, again, the peripheral vision and how that plays into even using the nerves that sit in the corneal area at the rear of the eye, which is actually a continuation of the optical nerve. But it also is a nerve-rich center that goes into the pineal gland, where you then begin to extend visual perception beyond what you actually are seeing with your eyes, because there's almost like a sixth sense develops. Do you have any sense of that at all?
I do, and I've noticed with myself, now I don't know if this is true for other people, when I've trained myself, when I see that entity or that figure out of the corner of my eye, I don't move my eyes. I keep observing it as long as I can from the side vision, because if you try to look at it, it's gone. If you move your eyes toward it, it's instantly gone. But if you'll just hold your vision where it is, you'll get a little longer look at it. And on the vision, I think another really important thing, and that's what you read in the part of the book I sent you, was to empty your mind. People think so much that they can't absorb anything.
Yeah.
You have to slow down and learn how to empty your mind and slow it down, or you can't perceive anything because you have all these voices in your head talking about all these different things that you're supposed to do and in the future and in the past. And we need to get back to being in the present to fully take in what is around us with this thinning process.
Yeah, this is real important to turn down the noise. I've been working for years on this, of getting that chatter down, because what happens is we try to work through and reason all the stimuli around us, and we're processing huge amounts of, frankly, a lot of it is useless information. But when you listen to the chatter in your head, it goes into things that is being programmed into us. Everything from pop music, which I don't have a problem with, to commercials on TV, to the visual stimulus that's all around us, that's constantly advertising to us and trying to get us to do things, to all of the noise that's embedded in the background now, because there's like, and this is another thing, the background hum that you hear almost constantly anymore. And I'm not the only one talking about this. Other people are starting to notice that there's like this background hum. Even when it's quiet, it's almost like there all mm-hmm. the time. And I don't know if it's EMF or if it's Wi-Fi or what it is, but unless you go someplace pretty much out in nature, it's really hard to get rid of this background hum, which I believe is carrying a lot of subliminally embedded information.
Well, I think it is. We have a little cottage on a lake, and when you go there, it's not there. It's not happening there where it is in town. And people will be at the cottage, and they'll say, it's so quiet here, it's so peaceful, and it's because whatever this is isn't permeating that area yet. You know, and the question is the vibration, are the vibration and the hum the same thing? And if so, are they a thinning of the veil, or are they another manipulation to keep us in this reality and keep the veil from thinning more? Or keep us from observing it thinning more?
Yeah, good questions. My observation is that a lot of it is atmospheric noise, because we're living in this electrosphere now where there's just so much ambient electrical coming at us all around. But the other side of it is that, yeah, I tend to think that there may even be an aspect of that, because I notice shifts in sound very quickly. I'm very auditory in my sensing, and a lot of times I'll pick up sound shifts before I pick up visual cues. And I'm noticing that this, what I call the hum, can attenuate in some very interesting ways sometimes. It's like it changes, and you notice it, and it's like a different frequency. You get any of
yes,
that?
Yes, and yes, lots of reports. I hear all different tones at different times of the day that have no explanation. The high-pitched one that comes in your ears, and you ask someone else, can you hear that? No. I have no idea where it's from, but other people are hearing it too. That's on the increase, as well as the entities, as the missing time, as the timeline changes. All these things seem to be increasing and increasing. You know, it just occurred to me, I wonder if all of the electronic noise and pollution is adding to or destroying the veil. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You do wonder about that, because whatever this veil is between worlds, you and I talked about this earlier about the TV series Fringe. And
yes,
that series is, you know, from my standpoint, I know a lot of the listeners probably aren't big TV people, but I went out of my way to go back and watch all four seasons of that in sequence in as short a time as I could do it. There's some pretty stunning information there about manipulations that were being done theoretically in the Fringe series to the way Walter got to be able to go into a parallel world to bring back his son Peter, who had died in this world, but he brought him back in the other world, and the distortion that occurred dimensionally and timeline-wise as a result of that. And I think whatever he was using there, the way it was depicted, was some kind of frequency key. Some kind of frequency key that was basically just completely ripped the veil open and opened up a parallel dimensional world where he could walk through it.
Well, and the other interesting information on that was the fact that a person could also rip through that veil. And another really good question is, are we willing things back and forth through the veil? Are we willing ourselves into a slightly different dimension because we're unhappy with the one we're in?
Well, the government's been playing with this stuff for a long time. I mean, there's whistleblowers out there that have talked about different government projects that have been into timeline manipulation. You know, there's a ring of truth in the fiction that we consume through our entertainment media. And more so, I'd say since the X-Files, it's almost been in your face, the amount of disclosure that goes on in entertainment. Because if you listen to some of the whistleblowers, the legitimate ones that have come out, and there's obviously a lot of distortion with the information, but the consistent thread is the government has been messing around with timelines and altering timelines and attempting to move people back and forth between time and space using technologies, exotic technologies. The other side of it is that there's strong indications that we as humans are able to do this, and we're always able to do it. I mean, it goes way back. You know, so the technology itself is sort of an artificial way to do something that we would probably view as being part of our makeup if we were not dealing with the fact that somehow or another, well, this goes into another thread as well. Have we been compromised genetically? Have we been compromised spiritually in a way that has stunted us and disallowed us to be able to move back and forth between worlds?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I guess the biggest question of all is, are the timelines going to combine, split? I believe that we as human consciousness create our own timelines with our energy, and we can change them. We can change this world with our energy if we choose to. As a collective, we could change the entire thing. As an individual, can we move in between worlds? I don't know. That gets as confusing as time travel and were you your own grandmother.
Well, I don't think there is time travel, because I think time as a concept is very difficult to pin down. That's why we're having this discussion. I mean, we're entrained into a time matrix here. But dimensionally, if you just think for a minute about the extra-dimensional experiences that you've had, other beings seem to be able to penetrate the dimensional veil, almost at will.
But I don't think we can penetrate... Okay, the question is, if I'm in this world and I want to move to a slightly parallel world, then that me would have to move back to this one. So it gets rather complicated from where I'm seeing it. I'm not sure how that works. Or have we created an entire new parallel world? That's definitely a possibility. You know, have we made the changes with our energy? Is that something that we can do? I think we're blocked, absolutely, like you were talking about, from social programs, from parents, from teachers, from that's not possible, you can't do that, that doesn't exist, stop talking silliness, you know, all those things that we heard.
Yeah, all the rules, all the mind rules that we have.
Yes, and for those of us who have always been slightly off the channel and able to see into the different realms and pick different things up, we always kind of knew better. So those rules were kind of effective on us, but not 100%, because our experiences were very consistent. For those that have grown up with the absolute rules and always believed in those, it's harder when they have experiences happen to them or situations, because the fear response automatically comes up because it's new, and new is absolutely frightening.
The fear response is the control grid. That's the control grid that says at some level where your behavior, where your responses become outside of what's called rational reality, you're insane. At that point, you're basically sent off to psychiatrists, medicated, and ultimately locked up if you cannot begin to conform into the reality mainstream. And yet, there are many people who have been released from mental institutions who go, I did not have a nervous breakdown, I had an expansion of consciousness. And where the line is drawn on any of that, I think, is completely individual experience. I think there's a thin line between insanity and enlightenment anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely there is. And a lot of people who are enlightened are locked up. I have a very dear relative who has been so medicated that she can't even think for her entire life. She's in her 60s, and it's very sad. It's very sad because I think she's an intuitive. And back in the 60s, she saw, you know, devils in the driveway, and she saw these entities. And they said, well, you know, you're schizophrenic. And then she said, I can hear people's thoughts. And they said, you're crazy. And she went through shock treatments and everything else. And I think she's just extremely gifted. But no one ever wanted to hear that. That was not the rule. That's not the way society works. But once people begin to accept that there are things happening, and that if they experience them, it's not going to hurt them. Seeing a shadow person does not hurt you. And stop reacting with the fear and react with curiosity. That's where I am. I experience something and I say, what was that? And want to know more. And if we can get to that point, then we can maybe get some additional information and put it all together and get a few answers. Just a few would be nice.
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing a lot of times with this show. I mean, it's why we're having kind of this open-ended discussion between us tonight, because you and I had this fascinating conversation over the weekend, and we can't replicate that. It never works. If, you know, I could sit there and take notes, I will not remember everything that we talked about. But in a way, it's like I have conversations with maybe a dozen people that I know on a regular basis that just they trigger a response in me that says, okay, I'm not insane. This is possible, and there is something going on because there's a common thread out there. Now, you're on David Icke's forums as a moderator, so you see a pretty wide range of things that people are posting. And so when you when you talk to me about some of the things that you're seeing, that's very confirmatory. Yes, I agree, David Icke's audience is going to be more open to this, but that doesn't make it wrong. You know, one of the things...
Well, the nice thing about it is they're all over the world.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it, is you get a world sampling. It's not just a U.S. forum or a U.K. forum. It really is all over the world. And when you get reports from all over the world of the same thing, it validates it. It says this is absolutely happening. The thread that I had sent you about people who had already died. I didn't know most of the names because most of them they were bringing up were from Great Britain. But they were saying, again, I thought this person died 5 years ago. I remember it. I saw it on the news. You know, I cried. I was sad. And now they died again?
Yeah, I actually experienced this, and I don't even know what you call this phenomena. Phyllis Diller died a few months ago. And I remember sitting there thinking, wait a minute. She died years ago. Now, that could just be me, but
no, I have the same memory.
It felt to me like she had passed a long time ago. The most memorable to me was Jack Palance, the actor who played in City Slickers. And anybody that knows that movie or remembers Jack Palance knows that he's a pretty interesting character. And I swear that Palance passed away a few years after City Slickers, which was probably late 90s, 97, 98. And yet his official obituary shows him as passing away in 2006. And yet I had conversations with people. I was on radio back in 2006, and I had a conversation with somebody on the air, and they went, Jack Palance died years ago. There's been a shift here. And we were at that time talking about how certain people show up dying again after we have a distinct memory that they'd already passed. And I think these are like little bookmarkers, because for some reason we notice stuff like this. We notice the passing of famous people. They're kind of bookmarks in our lives, especially for me. Jack Palance was around, you know, my whole life. I remember watching him as a kid. So that's a kind of a big deal. You tend to notice that.
Mm-hmm. The other interesting one I've noticed, I'm not sure it was on the Ike Forum, but you can actually Google, are there 50 states or 52 states? A whole bunch of people remember there being 52 states.
Wow, that's interesting.
And, yes, that's another one that I've caught. The media seems to be really spread out as to what, you know, what movies people think have changed, or what shows, or what books, that seems to be spread out, where people actually have different memories of different endings, and everybody just wants to argue about it. But the reports that I'm getting from the Ike Forum, or not I'm getting, but the forum is getting, are of, like you just talked about, people dying again. Things like we've just been talking about, showing up and missing, the shadow people showing up. I'm trying to think if there are any we haven't covered. Gosh. Being touched is another one. Sleep paralysis is definitely up, which I don't think is sleep paralysis, but where you're held and touched by an entity. And just people feeling that someone is touching them during the day. You know, someone was touching me and there was no one there. And people assert it into a ghost report, but it's probably an interdimensional entity rather than a ghost. Or are they the same thing? But yeah, the reports are up, the threads are up. I mean, you're getting email about the shadow people. What else are you getting email on?
Well, unfortunately, I'm so far behind on my email these days. I would say paranormal experiences overall were up, and the heightening awareness of it is up big time. And it seems like people, I think what's really going on is a lot of people are just noticing it. It's coming into their awareness now. And, you know, because I do this show, and I tend to be more exposed to this, it's a little more acceptable to email somebody like you or me with these experiences. But what really is going on right now is that there's a wider acceptance that the, what's so-called normal is breaking down, and I think people are experiencing it in different ways because the way our realities, I mean, nobody has the same identical perception of reality. We know that. That's even an established psychological fact. So what they're perceiving a lot is based on the anomalies that are in their field of perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree completely.
Now, well, and I have a question. I have a question on the chat, and maybe we just kick this for a minute. The question's asked, if shadow people don't want to hurt us, why do they at times hold us in a paralyzed state?
Well, number one, are they sure it's actually a shadow person rather than a shadow person? From the reports that I've heard, seem to want to observe. They don't seem to want to interact much. I would say that when you're being held, if it's not sleep paralysis, the normal kind, which is pretty rare, then either work is being done on you or you're being accessed for a malevolent reason.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. The way to complete, to move instantly is to change your brain patterns to righteous anger. For some reason, it releases the chemical that allows you to move again. It works every time. People say cry out to Jesus or cry out to God. Well, what you're doing when you do that is you're saying, you can't do this to me because my God is going to save me.
Right.
And
right,
it works every time. Every single time. So righteous anger will break that hold. But yeah, I haven't... People have reported a shadow over them, but I've never heard of a shadow person walking up and touching someone or actually interacting. They seem to just walk around.
Yeah, and so again, this is the problem that we have, Dana, with all of this phenomena is our terms are imprecise. We don't have a compendium where we can go reference this. We all have a different experience and we all have different names for things because we're trying to describe things that are outside of our standard lexicon right now, our standard vocabulary.
Yeah, we need a whole new vocabulary. We need a new set of words and experiences to describe all this.
Well, that was interesting.
Still
Hello.
There?
Yeah, I'm still here.
That was odd.
You and I, hey, well, how odd would that be with us? We've had some very interesting phone calls over the years about, where we're just so obvious that, hello, you're there.
Well, that's the other thing that actually that I've had reports of is a lot more surveillance, a lot more interaction, a lot more of the government trying to control people that are experiencing things. Lots more gang stalking, lots more attacks, and lots more paranoia from people who have it happen. And the only thing you can do is just laugh at them. If they want to follow you around and waste the taxpayers' black ops money, there isn't anything you can do about it. Just laugh and go on with your life. Because you can't stop it.
I have to wonder if this whole NSA exposure thing that's been going on isn't kind of just window dressing for public consumption, too. I mean, we've known about Echelon and the NSA projects going back into the late 1990s. I was covering this stuff on radio 10 years ago. So how shocking is it that they're harvesting all our private information? I live my life basically assuming that. This is not good.
No. And my phone connection is really steady.
Well.
Very odd. Oh, well. Better than a complete disconnect like they usually do to us.
Well, we're coming up on the closing few minutes here of our hour together, Dane. I was just going through the chat room to see if anybody had any questions. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to put those up on the chat. I think we'll not have time to take call. Boy, as a live talk show host, I really suck at this because I never get the phone number out. But those of you who are in the chat right now, if there's anything you want to bring up topically here in the last few minutes, the whole shadow thing to me is kind of an indication of a phenomenon that I don't think we understand real well, and I don't even know how you study it or how you document it. It seems...
I don't either. Yeah, the other increase is in people wanting to have experiences, which I think is really interesting. And that scares me a little bit because they're basically just putting themselves out there and saying, okay, if any entity wants to give me an extra-dimensional experience, bring it on, which isn't really a safe way to do it. You want to be a little more specific, and you will be able to see and experience different things if you decide absolutely that they're possible. Nothing is going to happen to you to prove to you that this stuff exists. And that happens a lot, too. People say, well, I've never seen anything. Well, you haven't seen anything because you don't believe it's possible. So it's not going to happen to you. But for those who are looking for these experiences, please be careful and specify. Specify that service to others orientation entities is who you want to interact with. And that closes the gap a little bit.
I think the important key here is that if you get out of your consensus reality and just begin to practice some of the things that you and I talked about tonight, you'll begin to see the things that are there. And it's kind of like, I keep mocking Stephen Greer for taking people out and trying to flag down UFOs. First off, it's just tawdry and cheap. And secondly, I think it's dangerous. I think pursuing that from an entertainment... Look, whatever you're dealing with an unknown quantity. If you're not morally, spiritually, and intellectually prepared to deal with something like that, you could be in a shitload of trouble.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, I didn't ask in a conscious way for anything that has happened to me to happen when the bad stuff started. Maybe I did on a soul level. I'll take responsibility for it. If it was my fault, it was my fault. But certainly for people to go out and hunt down UFOs or go out and say, I want to meet the reptilians, or put themselves out there in harm's way is not smart. It's just not smart. So you're right. Pay attention to what's around you and walk into this slowly, broadening your perceptions one at a time until you spiritually grow and are ready for more things and have a little bit of a feel as to what you're doing.
Absolutely. Dana, you're working on a book. Are you updating the website at all these days? Any new things being posted
there? I am.
Good.
I am. I will put some new stuff up in the next few days. People are not paying attention. There are archives on there if you want more. Excuse the spelling. They were written as things happened. But yes, and I do take emails. So if you have an issue, you're welcome to email me.
And
tell
them where the website is.
Oh, okay. I'm not good at promoting myself, am I?
No, you're not.
It's ufochick.com. And it's ufochick@gmail.com.
Excellent. Dana, thanks for coming on tonight. Thanks for being so expansive in all the subjects that we talked about. And you and I will get together again here real soon, I hope. We're going to take a break and come back on the other side. Duncan O'Finian and Miranda Kelly will be joining me in the next hour. This is Off Planet Radio. We will be right back.